Hi, Dream Jerks listener. This is Kenneth. Oh, my God.
Sorry. You scared me.
Oh, my God. I didn't mean to scare you. I was talking to the listener.
Oh, hi, listener.
Hey, I hope we didn't scare you. We're just popping in because this is not going to be one of your regularly scheduled full feature length discussion episodes.
We've had a week. Sometimes in life, when you are co-owners of a podcast, co-owners of a band, a successful band that put on a really great Halloween show at the beginning of October, and you just use up all your social credits.
Yes. And because of how busy our week was, we did not find the time to be able to watch a feature-length film for this episode today. But we did decide we didn't want to leave you hanging. We didn't want to leave you without something new. So we are going to do a bonus episode about a TV special called Scared Shrekless to celebrate the start of October and Halloween season.
Yes, very spooky.
So let's go ahead and start the episode. Welcome, listener. This is Dream Jerks podcast. Dream Jerks makes the dream work. This is the show where we talk and watch. We watch and then talk about every DreamWorks animated film in order, no matter what. And sometimes we also watch other non-movie DreamWorks things.
Yeah. Well, this actually came out around the time of our timeline of watching DreamWorks movies in chronological order. I think we were up to 2008. And Scared Shrekless came out 2 years after that. 2010. You know, not necessarily 100% on board, but close enough.
Yeah. Well, before we get into that, even though we did do a little intro there, let's introduce ourselves.
Yes.
My name's Kenneth.
My name's John.
All right. That's out of the way. Today, today we're talking about Scared Shrekless. This is a TV special from DreamWorks, a Halloween special in the Shrek universe. It originally aired on NBC on October 28th, 2010. So this actually came out after Shrek Forever After.
Oh, okay. And we haven't touched that yet.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
That explains why Shrek's babies can talk, which I hate, as we've as we've well established. I hate his babies.
The baby.
Disgusting to me. His babies, not all babies. Shrek's babies. It was directed by Gary Trousdale and Ramon Hui.
Is that French?
I don't know. Yes. A screenplay by Gary Trousdale and Sean Bishop, with a story by Clary Morrissey, who wrote the story for The Bride of Gingy. There was Robert Porter did the story for The Boots Motel, and Sean Bishop did the story for The Shrekcercist.
What a name.
Of course, this entire franchise is based on the book Shrek by William Steig, and this particular TV special stars the voices of Mike Myers, Cameron Diaz, Dean Edwards doing the voice of Donkey, not Eddie Murphy. It's a really good impression.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it wasn't him.
Yeah.
Antonio Banderas, Cody Cameron, Conrad Vernon, Aaron Warner, Christopher Knights, and Kristen Shaw. Budget is not listed, and it also didn't have a box office gross because it was a TV special.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we just go ahead and... Here's the thing, listener. We're very tired. We just played a big concert, and then we had to work, and now we're sleepy.
Yeah.
So we're just getting right down to business.
Yeah, let's just get down to it. Let's talk about this.
Do we have a plop synopsis, John? I know you didn't prepare one.
I could probably give you one in 30 seconds.
You think you can do a 30 second?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get my timer ready.
Yeah, get your timer ready.
This is important. This is a moment. This is a real challenge.
Yeah.
Reset the timer. All right. So today, John, for the listeners who for some reason are listening to this for the first episode, what John is about to attempt to do is in 30 seconds, he will review the entire series of events that takes place within Scared Shrekless. And of course, as always, this segment is brought to you by Australian chicken restaurant Red Rooster, not a sponsor. John.
Yes.
Are you prepared?
Listen, no, I'm doing this without a net. All my plot synapses work for a little behind the scenes info. Mm-hmm. I write out my plot synapses.
Yeah.
I didn't write anything for this. Because this special is only like 25, 26 minutes long.
Yeah.
Including credits. So when I got done, I was like, wait, should I have been writing down stuff? Are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And then we talked about it and was like, let's do it anyways. So we're on the high wire right now. There is no net. And we're going to attempt to walk across in 30 seconds.
The most terrifying episode of Plop Synapses.
This is scary.
So appropriate for Halloween, for Scared Shrekless, for our first Halloween episode of this podcast. Okay.
There's going to be a lot of points of me going,
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like 15 of the 30 seconds will be ums.
Yeah.
Well, are you ready to give this a try?
Let's do it, dude.
All right. Well, then, let's hear this plop synapses presented by Red Rooster in lights, camera, action.
Shrek and his friends are having a Halloween get together, and then Shrek decides, I'm gonna take all my friends and tell spooky stories, and because they try to scare me, but they can't scare me because I'm an ogre. Let's go to Lord Farquaad's castle. It's abandoned, it's scary, it's spooky. Let's tell these stories. That's kind of spooky. Everyone gets scared one by one and leaves until Donkey's there, and he gets really scared by a real ghost. Nope, it was Fiona. The end.
25 seconds.
There it is, boys.
Yeah!
Ladies and gentlemen, give me my peas.
More peas. Do you want spooky peas, maybe mixed with some butternut squash or pumpkin to make it like a nice Halloween treat?
Ooh, that'd be nice.
We can do that. Maybe peas and pumpkin.
Yeah.
Peas and pumpkins. Pumpkin. Delicious. That's the whole plop. Ooh, that's kind of scary.
What, that's the whole plop?
That's the whole plop.
That's a t-shirt.
Yeah. Ooh, that's kind of scary. Ooh, that's... Yeah, that's the new homemade or like off-brand haunt event. In Orlando, if you don't live in Orlando, you should know that there is a large industry of Halloween scare events. So, of course, the biggest one is Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios. That is the mecca of Halloween scare events. There is now at SeaWorld Orlando, they're doing a Hallow Scream, which originally or previously was only at Busch Gardens Tampa. And now it's taking place at both.
Yes.
There are smaller local ones such as a Petrified Forest. There's Sir Henry's Haunted Trail.
Sir Henry.
There's another one. It's like in Atlanta. What's the one in Atlanta?
There's several in Atlanta, actually.
There's a lot of places to go get scared in Orlando. And people like to wear the same kinds of shirts to all of them. And the new one is going to be Dream Drinks Podcast. Ooh, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. You got to make it happen.
Yeah. Well, let's go through the three different stories. Well, first of all, how did it feel to be in the Shrek world outside of a movie? Because TV specials, I feel, always have a very distinct feeling to them, yeah, especially when they're like animated specials based on a franchise like this.
Yeah.
How did that feel to you?
It felt fine. You know, that it didn't, because it had most of the main cast come back.
Yeah.
It felt, I liked all the little Halloween costumes that everyone had.
Yeah, I do love, I love to see characters in costumes. That's always great.
Yeah. And it didn't feel cheap. It didn't feel like a different animation team or anything like that. It felt fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So I was okay with it. How did you feel about Pinocchio hanging himself? Were you okay with that?
I was okay with that, because this, and what something I was going to say, like with each of these individual stories that get told, they really do a good job of like making it kind of actually scary. I mean, if you're a kid watching this, like you might really think this is scary.
Oh yeah. Especially because they don't, the first one.
The first one?
Yeah.
The Bride of Gingy?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, because I was going to say maybe the Shrexorcist is kind of scary, because like they're really parodying, they're doing pretty good faithful parodies of like actual scary movies, you know.
Well, what was the first one based off?
The Bride of Gingy.
Well, I guess maybe Bride of Frankenstein.
It's almost like a combination of the Bride of Frankenstein and like what's that one with Kathy Bates where she's like breaking the guy's legs?
Misery.
In the cabin. Misery. Yeah.
And
it almost
the end is Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah. So you got a lot of kind of scary elements to it there. But yeah, like using Pinocchio's strings to hang himself. I mean, hey, it's in the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland and Magic Kingdom. So, you know, that kind of thing, even though it is horrifying, somehow it slides. Children's entertainment.
We'll let this one slide. This is okay.
And that, and especially since
good.
Oh, well, especially since Pinocchio is so closely tied to, or like tied to, associated with strings, you know, it feels appropriate.
That's a fair point. And that was probably their argument. It was like, look, Disney, you know, they have the Haunted Mansion. They have some guy hanging in the pre-show.
Yeah.
Why can't we have Pinocchio?
Yeah, you're not even on the ride yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but like you said, they all try to scare Shrek. And he says that ogres are the kings of Halloween. And, you know, they can't be scared. No one can scare them.
Yeah.
I don't want to go too closely in along the plot, but I did love seeing like a scary version. This movie calls back a lot of things from the first Shrek movie. So like when they go to Duloc and it's abandoned, and there's a scary version of the Welcome to Duloc little puppet show.
Oh, the information kiosk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which the show itself was kind of silly. And then it got to the point where Shrek posed with Donkey for the photo because he knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that photo of them was kind of spooky. I did not like that photo.
Oh, wait. I didn't notice what was wrong with it.
You didn't notice that, like, the photo was warped and their faces were, like, a little grotesque and morphed.
To find it.
And there was a message printed on at the bottom of the photo that said, get out. And when it was being printed out of the kiosk, it kind of went, oh, get out. I can't believe you missed that. That was unsettling.
Oh yeah, this picture is very weird.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, it's really creepy. Donkey's face especially.
Yeah. Did you just do an image search for that?
Yeah, I searched scared Shrekless Duloc photo, And it was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th result.
Yeah, it's very much like, it looks like a creepypasta almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very unsettling.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked that scary version. I liked how throwbacky it felt. Yeah, pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, you already said the Bride of Jinji you thought was kind of scary, maybe the scariest one.
Yeah. So the reason I thought it was scary was, of course, like the Bride of Jinji, Sugar, I believe she's named.
Oh, is she?
Yes, she's named Sugar because Jinji got dumped by his girlfriend. He goes to the Muffin Man and he's like, I want a new girlfriend. And the Muffin Man's making it. And Jinji's like, no, I want a lot of sugar. I want her to love me forever.
Yeah.
And of course, that's the undoing that turns this ginger woman into a very clingy, very
that train came with no warning.
Yeah, creeped up
still
on you.
Is it still passing?
Is it?
This is the,
I think I hear it.
No, it's not. It's not there. That was the sneakiest train. I didn't hear the crossing bells. That was, they can't be doing this.
They can't do that.
You can't sneak. I had my phone ready and I still almost missed it. That's, I'm going to complain to the train, the train manager.
Train man.
Yeah. Train man.
Train man.
Who's the singer of the band Train? I'm going to write him a letter.
Drops of Jupiter.
Hey, soul sister, this train snuck up on me.
What the hell? I demand an answer.
Yeah,
tonight.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
The
Bride of Jinji.
Yeah. And so she, of course, develops this attachment to Jinji and can't let him go, and he ends up trying to run away from her, and she like finds him and she's like, I will be very pretty for you, and starts like smearing her icing on her face, and she looks more deranged and like, oh, okay. And then she gets dropped into a mixer of dough and Jinji thinks it's over, and then the mixer of dough starts mixing sugar, the character, into the dough.
Sugar the person.
Sugar the person into the dough and creates this army of sugars.
Yeah.
That make their way over to Jinji's house, his gingerbread house, and surround it and overwhelm him.
Yeah.
And they ate me. The end.
Yeah. And he starts off by saying it's a true story.
Yeah. And when he says that part, he's like, wait a minute. What do you mean they ate you?
Yeah.
You can't tell the story if they ate you.
Yeah. If they ate you, how are you telling the true story? Yeah. Yeah. Bride of Jinji is fun. I like the idea of it. I also just like the concept of this whole short in general of like the different Trek characters are going to be telling like ghost stories to try to scare each other.
You know what it felt like? It felt very much like a Treehouse of Horror.
Oh yeah. That probably was the inspiration, because Treehouse of Horror is at this point, it's like a 30-year-old tradition. Every year, you know, it's going to happen.
You get an anthology of spooky stories.
Yeah. So there's no, you're right. That's, as a franchise, especially if like of such a parody heavy series like Shrek, you know, it's perfect for something like that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Fox was bought. When did they buy them?
Oh, that was pretty recent.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that was like 10 years ago, maybe.
I don't think so. I think Disney bought Fox. Maybe.
Let me see.
Jeez, I don't know. I would say in the last 3 years, it feels like.
The acquisition of 21st Century Fox by Disney was held from December 14th, 2017 to March 20th, 2019.
Okay, so yeah.
Okay, so fairly recent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
Second story, did you find that scary?
No, the second story I didn't really care for too much. The Boots Motel. I love the name.
Yeah. It's a play on Psycho, of course, which is a classic Universal movie.
Yeah. And this is even actually before Universal bought DreamWorks that this came out, but yet they stuck to mostly Universal movies as their parodies. And it aired on NBC, so you know, it's still very clearly the relationship was there. And then Universal was like, you know what, let's just go ahead and buy DreamWorks because they're basically our best buds anyway.
Yeah.
And we don't have a Pixar.
You know? That's true. Yeah. I'm just looking up to see if Psycho was. Oh, okay. So Psycho was distributed by Paramount.
It was?
Yeah.
Universal must have purchased the. I could have sworn Hitchcock was a Universal guy.
I could have sworn too.
What the heck?
But yeah, it says on Wikipedia that Psycho was distributed by Paramount.
A 1960 film. This is. Don't they have Psycho posters around like the Universal Park? Like Universal really treats Psycho like it's theirs.
Yeah. I don't know.
What the heck?
Unless they made a deal later on with Hitchcock.
Right. And I do know that sometimes like the distribution rights for movies get sold and moved around. So I could see something like that happening.
Yeah.
But man, I would have put so much money on the fact that Universal released Psycho.
Yeah.
Good thing I didn't.
Yeah, good thing. You would have lost all that money.
Yeah. I would have lost all of my money. I was that confident.
Yeah. Anyways.
Huh. Anyway.
The Boots Motel, because it's a story that first is being told by Puss in Boots. And Donkey keeps on interrupting the story and changing it. And because Donkey changes it, Puss in Boots has to change it. So they're changing the story back and forth. And it feels more silly than scary. I mean, the donkey eating waffle
that giant waffle is awesome.
Yeah. I switched to pancakes, I promise.
I was not enjoying the Boots Motel. I didn't like the back and forth, like Donkey and Puss arguing with each other thing until the giant waffle came to eat Donkey. And then I was like, okay, I like this part.
Yeah, it should have started out more. It felt like it should have started out more. One was steadily telling the story and then the other one would interrupt. And then it just escalated into them like back and forth doing a sentence each like this happened. No, this happened kind of deal.
Right.
Instead yeah, of I off could've... the bat, like they're constantly interrupting each other.
Right, like Puss in Boots doesn't even get like 5 words into his story before Donkey interrupts him.
Yeah.
But yes, Boots Motel, it's okay. I think the Shrexorcist was my favorite one.
It didn't seem that scary to me.
It wasn't, well, I guess it wasn't that scary, but it was fun and like, it was interesting. It made sense with the character choices. Oh, and that's what I was going to say before was I love the way they assign the like different characters to play different parts in the scary stories, because, you know, for the gingerbread man to create a bride, by baking her in like making it look like the creation of Frankenstein's monster. That's just fun and clever, and it makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
it fits. And so to have Pinocchio being Reagan from The Exorcist, and his head spinning around and him like levitating above the bed by hanging off the strings, like everything, I was like, this is pretty perfect to have him play Reagan.
Yeah.
And the voice in his head, like I just thought it was clever. I thought this one was
the cricket.
Yeah, Jiminy Cricket is the one in his head making him do everything.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I think the part that made me kind of chuckle was when he's crawling on the ceiling, and he keeps on saying stuff, and it's all like parables or fables.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And he does the thing where he crawls on the ceiling and his head rotates, and he goes, "A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush."
Yeah. I don't, what is that? Well, I have two questions. One, I've never understood that expression. What does that mean? Like, I know how it's used, but actually I don't even know if I know how it's used. I don't understand that expression at all.
Let's look it up. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush is a proverb that means the things we currently have are worth a lot more than the things we have a chance of getting. So it, basically what that means is if you have a bird in your hand, it's worth more than seeing two birds in a bush and going, oh, maybe I can get those. Forget about this one bird. I could get two birds, but they're in that bush, so I got to get them.
Wow.
The proverb says that the things you already own are far more valuable to you than the things you hope to get, because you may never actually get them.
Yeah. Interesting.
There you go.
Very interesting. Now I understand it. I hope you learned something as well, dear listener.
Yeah.
But anyway, is there a reason that Pinocchio is always saying proverbs in this? Like, is that a parody of something in The Exorcist? I don't remember.
I don't think it's necessarily a parody of The Exorcist. I think the reason that he keeps on saying it is because of his conscience in his head.
Conscience,
whatever.
Yeah.
I just had a oh my gosh, I'm trying to remember his name. He's on Red Letter Media.
Mr. Plinkett.
Yeah. the guy that keeps on getting like picked on by Jay and Mike.
The main thing I know from Red Letter Media is their reviews of the Star Wars prequels.
Oh yeah, well they do one of my favorite series that they do is called Review, which is RE:View, where they'll sit down and they'll talk about movies that they've seen before just to review them.
Right.
They've done a lot of movies, but they've also done one for UHF. So I'll send that to you.
Yes, please do. And we'll put that in the link of like the show notes so that you can watch it too. If you like UHF, Weird Al's movie. We talked about that with Lee Brett Schneider on the B movie episode.
Oh yeah.
We talked a little bit about UHF. Do they like UHF on Red Letter Media?
They do. They especially for Jay, he kind of likes movies that are, kind of like cult classics, horror movies, things like that. Sure. So he's a big fan of that.
Sometimes I try to watch their reviews and I don't like the way they think about movies. Like, I couldn't be a film critic because I just want to have fun. And like a lot of times I watch their reviews and they're so critical of things that like are not a problem for me at all. And then I'm just like, well, I guess I'm not cut out to do that kind of job professionally, because I mostly just like things unless there's something really, really wrong with it.
Right. Like, give me an example of like a movie that you're like, oh, this is not a good movie.
Of a movie that's not good?
Yeah. That you would critique for flaws of the film. Just off the top of your head.
The Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah.
Especially the second one.
Good.
Or Sing. We talked about Sing is another good example. A lot of Illumination movies. Sing is... yes. But Sing is a movie where I can specifically point to like the reasons why I think that it, like, as a story, it just doesn't really work.
Oh, that's so we're kind of going down a rabbit hole. We're kind of going off the beaten path, but yeah. Just for a few moments, Georgie would like an explanation as to why you don't like Sing.
Oh, okay. Georgie, I'm sorry if you like the movie Sing.
She loves it.
She loves it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think on a story standpoint, the movie Sing does not work because it doesn't have a protagonist. The fun of watching something like American Idol is picking your favorite and rooting for them to win. And in the movie Sing, it makes every contestant, except for the mouse that Seth MacFarlane is the voice of, it makes every contestant a sympathetic character that you are rooting for and you want them to win. But it's like, they can't all win. So then you don't know who you're supposed to be emotionally invested in. And so by default, you kind of have to go on to the koala, the Matthew McConaughey character, who's like running the talent show. And he is not really an interesting character or even a likable character, in my opinion. So then you're just kind of left with this movie of just like, I don't know who I'm supposed, what outcome I'm supposed to want. And then at that point, I personally cannot get invested in a story that I don't know what I'm supposed to want from it in the first place. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. And it wasn't until you started talking about it that I kind of thought back on it and was like, he's right. there's like no main. Yeah, the koala is, and we're going to call him a koala because we don't know his name.
Yeah, it's not our job to know his name. That's not a DreamWorks movie.
If that's not like evidence enough that we can't remember his name, that's the kind of impact that this movie makes. Oh, I like the pigs. I like the gorilla. I like the mouse that sings like Seth MacFarlane.
There are good songs in it and there are likable characters, but there are things to like about it, but I think as a whole,
but nothing memorable.
Nothing memorable. And I think as a whole, as a movie, it fails as a story.
Yeah.
As a narrative experience, I think it falls short.
Yeah.
So there you go. I'm sorry, Georgie. I hope that made sense to you. I hope we can still be friends.
Yeah. And if you do like the movie Sing, that's okay. You can like the movie Sing.
We're not saying
that you shouldn't like it. We're just saying that this is how we feel about
this
it.
This is how I feel.
This is our opinion. And as we know, opinions are the lowest form of human knowledge. Lowest form.
Yes. I've never heard
it. Absolute bottom of the barrel.
Is that something that is said? Is that...
I
the lowest form of human knowledge.
It really is.
Yeah.
Like, I remember hearing that somewhere, but I can't remember where I heard it from. Listener, if you remember hearing that phrase, let us know. Shoot us an email. Shoot us a message on Twitter.
In summary, if the movie Sing had one singer character that was in the competition that was clearly the good guy, and everyone else was like great singers, but the main character of that movie should have been a contestant. That we wanted them to win instead of making it about the contest overall and the organizer. Like, that would be like if they made an American Idol movie about Simon Fuller. Like, we don't care about him. We want to watch the movie about Kelly Clarkson, you know?
Right, exactly. And you just hit the nail on the head. The show itself is the protagonist.
Yeah.
You're trying to root for the show, but the show doesn't really have a character to it.
Right. So anyway, Scared Shrekless.
The Shrexorcist, yeah. So it was the Exorcist. It was you know, for the most part, you got to throw up, which I'm guessing that was like sap. Like tree sap that he was throwing up on Shrek.
I guess so. I didn't think about it.
Yeah. Cause it was like a light brown syrupy kind of consistency substance. So I was guessing it's tree sap. Makes sense. He's made of wood.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does.
Yeah. And the floating, the rotating of the head, all good fun. And then that story scares... It's not just the story that scares Pinocchio at the end. It's also the fact that Shrek happens to have a cricket in his pocket and he brings it out. And
yes.
Pinocchio does the classic running through the door and leaving a silhouette of his body as he's run through it.
It's always a good move. That's a joke that never gets old.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
The only way it can get old is if like the same movie keeps using it over and over. But like anyone is welcome to use that joke and it'll be funny every time.
Yeah. It was used in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's probably the best example because it was done practically.
Yeah.
That's a real window blind thing with a hole in it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then... at the end of all three tales that have been told, it's Shrek and Donkey that are left in the castle for this little who can scare Shrek kind of deal. And then Shrek mentions, well, we're done telling stories. We're just going to sit here for the rest of the night alone in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the ghost will show up. Ghost. Yeah, the ghost of Farquaad.
Which to me... This Scared Shrekless special to me officially erases Shrek 4D / the Ghost of Lord Farquaad from Shrek canon.
It really does. Because this came out after the fact that Shrek 4D was around, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shrek 4D was made in between Shrek 1 and 2.
Oh, God. Yeah. So this pretty much gets rid of Shrek 4D.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar with Shrek 4D, that's on Netflix as part of the same collection that Scared Shrekless is in. And on Netflix, it's called The Ghost of Lord Farquaad. And it's a film that was made for Universal Studios theme parks as a story that takes place between Shreks 1 and 2 about what happens when Shrek and Fiona try to go on their honeymoon. And they encounter the Ghost of Lord Farquaad and they fight him. And then in this story, they're all talking about, like, I've heard his ghost is here. But if the Shrek 4D movie was canon, they would have been like, oh, no, remember, we killed his ghost. First, we killed him and then we killed his ghost.
But the ghost of his ghost is here now.
There's nothing scarier than a ghost's ghost.
Yeah. Too spooky for me.
Ooh. This is, I guess, my scared noise.
Oh, OK. I thought that was your French baker noise.
I know. I don't know what that was.
The croissants are done. I shall leave them on the windowsill.
Oh, have we said enough about... Oh, wait, go ahead.
We like to have fun here.
It's true. And have we had enough fun?
Yeah, I think we've had enough. And at the end, this suit of armor kind of comes to life. Stuff gets moved around in like the empty room, foyer, living room area that Shrek and Donkey are in. And a suit of armor comes to life and has glowing eyes. And Donkey gets scared and runs off. And Shrek is like, oh, it's just Fiona and my children.
Yeah.
Which...
they're terrifying little babies.
Yeah, they were in on the gag the whole time. Because beginning, Shrek's like, oh, I'm going to take all these fairy tale friends to tell a spooky story. And Fiona's like, oh, I'm going to take the babies and we're going to go mess with some more trick-or-treaters. All right, see you later.
Yeah.
They were in on it the whole time.
Yeah.
After that, Fiona's like, oh, I have 7 eggs. And then they go egg the 7 dwarves.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Roll credits.
So, yeah. Hooray. Do you think this is a good... do you think this is a Halloween special that is worth keeping in your annual rotation of Halloween viewing?
It depends. Because let me tell you... the ones that I have in rotation.
Good. I was about to ask. So this is, and I would love to share mine, but let's hear yours.
I'll say at least, let's both say at least three.
Okay.
That's like, it's a must.
Are we talking about TV specials or also movies?
Do you want to do both or do you want to do them separately?
Let's do separate categories. Let's do some TV specials and then some Halloween movies that are like every year. It's not Halloween unless I watch these things.
All right. TV specials are Charlie Brown, of course.
The Great Pumpkin.
Yep.
Sure.
Garfield's Halloween Adventure.
Oh.
Yes.
I've never heard of that one.
And Over the Garden Wall.
What is that?
That was a miniseries that was on Cartoon Network that stars the voice of Elijah Wood. And it's a story about two kids that are wandering around in the woods and they're trying to get back home. And along the way, they meet all these interesting characters that are both fantastic and spooky and sometimes a little scary. And it's a very, very good Halloween like miniseries. I think it's like 9 or 10 episodes.
Oh, okay.
But you can watch it all in one go. And I think it's like an hour, a little over an hour and 30, maybe hour 45.
Okay. Yeah, that's short.
Yeah. I think it's on Hulu.
What's it called? Over the Garden Wall?
Over the Garden Wall. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Has great music, great characters. You should watch it.
Okay.
If you can't find Garfield Halloween Adventure, let me know. I'll let you borrow that too.
Oh, nice.
But I used to, on a side note, I still have the VHS tape, but I have a VHS tape of most of it is strictly like Halloween TV specials that my parents recorded when they aired on TV.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I had that tape growing up, and every Halloween we would put that tape in and we would watch The Great Pumpkin and Garfield's Halloween Adventure. And they all included all of the like 80s commercials with them.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's good. You could probably get a lot of views if you just uploaded that whole tape to YouTube.
Oh, absolutely. I want to be able to transfer that to digital, not just to keep those memories, but to share that.
Yeah.
That'd get a lot of hits on YouTube for sure.
I think so. That's really good.
Yeah. As far as movies go, Murder Party, which is a indie film about a guy who finds an invitation to a Halloween party and shows up, and turns out he is captured by all of these art students that are going to kill him as part of an art project. So that way they can be the hottest art people in the art scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think they described it as Napoleon Dynamite meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Well, I mean, I love one of those and I hate the other. Or I don't hate. I don't like one of those movies and I really love the other one. So
what's wrong with Napoleon Dynamite? It's a joke.
That's yeah. That is a good joke.
Murder Party. Maybe I'll watch the original Halloween, the 70s.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And trying to think if there's like, if I was looking at my bookcase that has all my DVDs and Blu-rays on it, I'd be able to say a third one, but I can't think of any at the moment.
That's mainly, right. I don't know if
Murder
I have...
Party.
Okay. I would love to, we should watch that because I've never even heard of it before now.
Okay.
So, let's see.
TV specials.
TV specials. I think there's only two that I make a point to watch every year, and those are Toy Story of Terror and, the David S. Pumpkins Halloween special.
Oh, a Halloween special.
Yeah. They made a full like half hour animated, special starring David Pumpkins and the two ghosts.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's like a Cat in the Hat type story about David Pumpkins teaching a kid to love Halloween. and it's very silly.
Okay.
And weird.
I gotta watch that now. I thought you were just gonna say the skit itself.
I mean, yes, but no, they made a half hour special. Okay. And it's great.
I'll have to check that out.
The songs in it are really funny.
Good.
Movies. I mean, Hocus Pocus to me is like,
oh yeah,
that's the definition of Halloween to me. And actually, I was watching Hocus Pocus with our friend Hannah, and she was saying that she resents the newfound popularity of Hocus Pocus and feels like a lot of people are kind of bandwagoning it.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I've been watching Hocus Pocus every year since it came out. So I don't want anybody trying to tell me I'm not a real Hocus Pocus fan. No, Hocus Pocus has been my favorite Halloween movie since 1993 when it was released. So, all right, get off my case.
Oh, I forgot about Nightmare.
Nightmare?
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of Nightmare Before Christmas, to be honest.
Overrated?
Yeah, overrated. I don't really get it.
I think the fandom and the merchandise kind of killed the love that I used to have for that, because there was something special about that stop animation.
Yeah.
Movie.
I like the look, and I even like the concept. I just don't like the movie.
Okay.
It
does drag here and there.
I don't know what it
more,
is.
It's set up more like a musical.
Yeah, and I don't like most of the songs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to like that movie, but I just don't. And I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hot takes on this episode.
Yeah, a lot of hot takes.
Hotcakes on this episode.
Mm.
Isn't that pancakes?
That is pancakes.
And then there's Hocus Pocus. Now I've added Hubie Halloween is going to be a must.
I'm surprised I haven't seen anyone at Halloween. Oh.
All right, I'm sorry. That was just a crazy train.
Yeah, it happens, man.
But at least this time it did announce itself to me.
Yes. I was going to say, I'm surprised I haven't seen a single person dressed up as Hubie Halloween come to Halloween Horror Nights and just be like overly scared of every single thing he comes across. They come across. Like,
oh, help me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, Kenneth, you need to find a green army jacket, get a yellow sash that says monitor on it. Bring a thermos, go to Halloween Horror Nights, and just be overly scared of like every single thing, to the point where people, like guests, are looking at you and going, what's this guy's deal?
Yeah. Oh, this is not a bad idea.
Yeah. He's dressed up as Hubie Halloween. Oh,
he's Hubie. Yeah. Hubie is a character who loves Halloween more than anything and is also terrified of everything.
Yeah. Because there's one scene in that film where he has to go through like a haunted house attraction.
Yeah.
Because he's like trying to find someone or chase someone or hide. I can't remember.
He thinks a werewolf went in there, and so he's trying to get it.
Right. And he's going through the haunted attraction, and he's like, oh my God. The way he sells being scared is
that movie,
very comical.
I love that movie. And it gets funnier every time I watch it. And I've watched it twice this year already.
Already? I haven't seen it yet this year.
Oh,
so maybe I'll give it a watch sometime.
I've seen it like 2.5 times this year. It's so good.
Okay.
I think those are kind of my essentials. Casper is also pretty good. I like Casper.
Nice. It's been a while since I've seen that.
Me too. I think that'll be probably the next Halloween viewing that I do. But anyway.
Did I tell you I made a drinking game for Hocus Pocus?
No.
So you take a drink every time someone says children, sisters, or virgin. And you have to finish your drink when Winifred says Hocus Pocus.
Very good. And that's at the end of the movie. So you should hopefully already be close to done anyway.
Well, you'll go through several drinks alone in the first like 10 minutes of the film because Sarah is singing Come Little Children, I'll Take You Away. Like, you gotta, as soon as the film starts, it's like, oh, here goes one.
Here we
go. Every time, like, the Sanderson sisters, ugh, sisters, ugh.
Wait, so it's sisters, children, and what?
Virgin.
Virgin. Which,
there's not is too in this movie many a of lot. Those. There's only like four or five, I think, virgins in. I think even the last line of the movie is, I had to wait a 100 years for a virgin to light a candle. And like, yeah. No, that's the end of the movie.
And we already finished our drink and now I have to open a new one because now you said virgin.
Yep. So
that movie. Yeah, that would be a very effective drinking game, let's say.
Wasted in the first 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah. That's great. I love the idea. Please drink responsibly.
Yes. Anyways, so we talked about that because you asked me if I considered that to be part of my rotation, and I say no. The reason is because I feel almost like, not just because I grew up in a different time, different era. Mm-hmm. So I have some things that I've taken with me from my childhood as an adult that I'm like, this means something to me. It's part of my childhood. It takes me back to a simpler time kind of deal.
Yeah.
But there's also Over the Garden Wall, which I didn't discover until several years after it was released, but it had such, it harkens back to that feeling of being young and being on a fantastic journey or adventure. And it just is near and dear to my heart. So
gotcha.
Scare Trekless, it's fun, but not in my Halloween rotation. If it is in your Halloween rotation, dear listener, please let us know.
Yeah, is this one of your favorite every year Halloween specials? That would be great to know. Or, I mean, you know, if you want
to. And if it's not, let us know what is in your rotation.
Yeah, I am interested to know what are people's like Halloween watching traditions.
Yeah. Top three TV specials, top three movies. Let us know.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Kenneth.
Yeah, sure. John.
I think we did it.
I think we did it. I think we've talked about this special, and there's nothing left to say.
Yeah, because we can't really rank it.
No.
I thought it was okay for the 20, 25, 26 minutes that I spent watching it.
Yeah, it was fine. It did entertain me, and it put me in a little bit of a spooky spirit.
Yeah.
That's all you ask for.
Absolutely.
So I think that's going to be the end of this episode of Dream Jerks Podcast. Please, I know this is a bonus episode, so please come back in 2 weeks when we'll be talking about Madagascar Escape to Africa. You can follow John. Do you want anybody to follow you, or no, you don't want them?
I mean, if you
don't follow John,
if you don't follow me,
he likes his privacy.
I really do. I honestly do, because I'll have something good to add to the great conversation like once in a blue moon, but if you know, don't bother me. I'm like a cat. You don't come to pet me. I come to you and I ask for pets.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And if you over pet me, I'll bite you. I get pet aggressive.
Well, if you want to follow me on Instagram and Twitter, you can do that at King Kemen. You can follow our band. Our band will be playing this October 29th at The Fest in Gainesville, Florida. That schedule is out. You can go to thefestfl.com to find out more. I believe the festival 3-day passes are sold out, but our venue that we are playing is a free general admission show. So even if you don't have a pass to the fest, you can still travel to Gainesville, or if you live in Gainesville, and come see us play our very first fest which is a huge punk festival that happens every year in Florida. We're very honored to be playing for the first time there. So we'll be doing that October 29th. And you can follow our band at Pangolin FL on all internet places. and you can also visit pangolinfl.com for links to everything if you want to find that. You can follow this very show that you're listening to right now at Dream Tricks Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can send us an email with all of your favorite Halloween tradition viewing or anything else that you want to tell us about. If you can, you can tell us anything at all about anything at all at dreamjerkspodcast@gmail.com. Go ahead and leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app that will let you do that. Smoke, Vanish, Alpha, Zeta, Bones, Jones, Marcos, Lightspeed, Crazy Calzoni. We'll see you all at band practice. Anything left? Any final word, John? Anything left to add?
Thank you for listening. And, you know, have a good and safe October.
Yes, ooh, please do.
Ooh, for the dream to work, we have to go to sleep. Uh-huh. So, good night.
Blah.
Dream Jerks Podcast has no affiliation with DreamWorks Animation, Universal Pictures, or Comcast NBC Universal. The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not represent the companies or organizations they happen to work for. Theme music by Pangolin.